بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama-i-kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, it is only the infinite mercy, the sheer grace and kindness of Allah Rabbul Izzah that Allah has blessed us and favored us with a complete, pure and pristine way of life, the deen of Islam. And one of the salient features, one of the standout attributes of the deen of Islam is that Allah Rabbul Izzah has provided for us not just a clear picture, transparency and clarity with regard to life in this world and what to this world, but together with this, Allah Rabbul Izzah has provided us with clarity and transparency with regard to the stages that will come after the life of this world: death, the stages of death, thereafter the realm of barzakh, which will come after life in this world, resurrection, the day of resurrection and its various stages, culminating in the eternal life, either in the gardens of Jannah or the dens of Jahannam. When it comes to life in this world, what to expect, how to conduct ourselves, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taraktukum ala mithlil bayda, I have left you upon a crystal clear path. How to conduct yourself, what to do, what not to do, what will earn your success and salvation in the hereafter. And then to emphasize the clarity, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Layliha kanahariha. The night is as bright and clear as the day. Generally, during the brightness of daylight, visibility is clear. A person is able to see to a good distance. He is able to navigate and find his way to his destination with relative ease. But when the sun begins to set, and when darkness begins to take over, visibility begins to decrease, now it becomes difficult for a person to navigate, to find his way to reach his destination. But when it comes to the deen of Islam, when it comes to what is required from you and I, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to us that there is no night. The night is as bright and clear as the day. In other words, the requirement, what is required from you and I, how do we please Allah Rabbul Izzah? How do we lead our lives in this world? This has been described and explained to us with absolute clarity. But it does not just stop here. When we look into Quran and Hadith, we find that Allah then discusses and describes again with absolute clarity and transparency what will happen when the life of this world comes to an end. When it comes to death, when the angel of death visits a person, the hadith of Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in great detail describes the visit of Malakul Maut. Nazala alayhi min as-sama'i malaikatun bidul wujuh ka'anna wujuhahum ash-shams. The person is a pious person, he has iman, he has belief in Allah, he has taqwa in his life. Then the angels descend upon him with shining faces as radiant as the sun, and the description goes on. They bring water from Jannah, they bring a kafan from Jannah, they bring musk or sweet smelling fragrance from Jannah. This serves as an anesthetic, and this person's soul is then extracted with very mild discomfort, if any at all. And thereafter his soul is taken into the heavens, the angels transport it, and they begin to address him using titles of honor, titles of respect. They carry him to the first heaven. Permission is sought from the angels. Can we ascend with this body? The question is asked, who is this person? And the response comes, he is so and so. He was a good person, a pious person. The angels of each heaven welcome him. Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan. Come through, we have awaited your arrival. And on the other hand, if the person was an evil person, he did not believe in Allah, he did not obey Allah Rabbul Izzah in this world, then the scene is completely different. The angels who will appear will be absolutely terrifying. When his soul is extracted, it will be the amount of pain that he will feel cannot be described. It will be something that he has never experienced in his life in this world. When his soul is taken up into the heavens, then with the angels rebuking him, permission will now be sought from the angels of the skies. And when they ask, who is this person? And the response is given, they will say, entry has not been granted. And then the hadith mentions, he will be taken beneath the earth, and his soul will then be stored in Sijjin, where the evil souls are kept. This also in great detail has been mentioned. And then the subsequent stage thereafter, the stage of the grave, the questioning of the grave. Here also we find to the minutest detail, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described to us the angels that will come into the grave, the questions that will be posed to the person. The person will give in accordance to how he led his life in this world. And then the trumpet will be blown, resurrection will take place, and the entirety of mankind will be gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the plains of Hashar, the plains of resurrection. Hisab kitab will take place. Each person will be given his book of deeds. The fortunate ones will receive it in the right hand. Those who are less fortunate, the wretched ones, will receive it in the left hand. They will be told to read their own book to take account of themselves. And then mizan, the weighing of deeds, will take place. And finally, each and every person will have to stand at the entrance of the sirat, the bridge that crosses over Jahannam. And the journey over the bridge will then commence. When we look through all of these stages, my dear brothers, whether it comes to life in this world, whether it comes to death, whether it comes to the realm of barzakh in the grave, whether it comes to resurrection and the stages on the day of Qiyamah, we find there is one recurring theme that is found throughout all of these stages. The tussle, the struggle, the tug of war between darkness and light, between dhulma and noor, between good and evil. In this world it will be the light of iman, the light of belief, and the darkness of kufr, of disbelief. But this tussle, this struggle, this tug of war will become tangible, will become physical on the day of Qiyamah. The verse that I recited in the beginning, Suratul Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this struggle or this tug of war between of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. Under this verse, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned the narration of Sulaym bin Amir. He says, كُنَّا فِي جَنَازَةٍ بِدِمَشْقِ. We were in Damascus attending a janaza. وَمَعَنَا أَبُو أُمَامَا أَلْبَاهِلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. With us was the companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. When the body had been placed into the grave and the sand had now been placed upon that body, Abu Umama then addresses us and he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ قَدْ أَصْبَحْتُمْ وَأَمْسَيْتُمْ فِي مَنْزِلٍ تَقْتَسِمُونَ فِيهِ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. He says, O people, you find yourselves in such an abode where you have equal access to good and evil. You have an opportunity to conduct yourself in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. And you have also been given a chance to disobey Allah. But very soon you will move over to manzilin akhar, to another realm. And then he points at the grave. And then he describes the condition of the grave. Baytul wahsha, wa baytul dood, wa baytul dhulma, wa baytul dhiq. This is an abode of loneliness. This is an abode of insects. This is an abode of darkness. And then from there you will transfer to another place, the day of Qiyamah, and you will go through the various marahil and stages of Qiyamah. And then you will find yourself at the Sirat, at the bridge that goes over Jahannam into Jannah. فَتَغْشَ النَّاسَ ظُلْمَةٌ شَدِيدًا. And then he describes this tussle between darkness and light, where humanity will be plunged into complete pitch darkness. ثُمَّ يُقَسَّمُ النُّورِ. Then nur will be distributed. The believer will be the recipient of nur. وَأَمَّا الْكَافِرُ وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ. But the person who had no iman, and the munafiq, that person who was clothed in the garb of iman, but within his heart there was no reality. فَلَا يُعْطَيَانِ شَيْئًا. They will not be given any light or nur. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu describes this in further detail. The believer will receive nur in accordance to his deeds in this world. Some ka'amthalil jibal, to the extent or the size of a mountain. Some to the extent of a date palm tree. Some to the size of a human being. And that person with the least amount of nur, to the extent of just one fingertip, which will flicker on and off, at times lighting the way ahead for him. At times he also will be enveloped in darkness. And then what will happen? The verse of Surah Al-Hadid, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. If you have to observe the scene, you will see those who had iman, their nur will be lighting the way ahead for them, shining very brightly. And then glad tiding will be given to them, بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتِ. That now, مَرْحَبًا أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا. You will now become the inhabitants beneath which rivers will flow. There will be all types of fruit in there. Every desire of yours will be fulfilled. And then Allah speaks about the hypocrite. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ. As we mentioned, those who had the garb of Iman or Islam upon them. Outwardly they looked like believers. They may have had the names of Muslims. They may have even conducted themselves as a Muslim does. But there was no reality within the heart. At this juncture, my dear brothers, let us all introspect. We may have belief in Allah, belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what is the level of my iman? What is the level of my reliance and my trust upon Allah? What is the level of consciousness that I have? What is the level of obedience to Allah in my life? Those who had the outer garb of iman upon them, but their hearts were devoid of iman, will now address the believers. Unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum. That just glance in our direction. Perhaps your nur will be of some benefit to us. How in this world there is a sudden power cut. The family is seated at the table. They are having supper. And the husband perhaps has his cell phone in his hand. Just a little bit of light from the screen of that phone. And the wife will say to him, just shine it in my direction. I am busy feeding the child right now. I cannot see what I am doing. The child must not get hurt. We know the level of discomfort, the level of fear that grips a person. The young child wakes up in the dead of night and his room is pitch black and he begins to cry out for his mother, for his father. But the moment the light is switched on, he is at ease. He is no longer restless. The fear goes away. We can imagine on that day, my dear brothers, when it will be absolute darkness. The only light that will light the way ahead will be the light of a'mal. The light of iman, proportionate to the effort a person made in this world. And those who did not take advantage of the opportunity, they allowed the opportunities to pass away, to leave them. They did not take full advantage of the chance Allah gave them, the time Allah gave them. Then they will be looking right and left. Whose nur can we borrow from? Whose light can we borrow? What is the response that will be given to them? قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go and look for your own light. Go back to the world. And now go and try and find your own source of energy and light. You did not make an effort to charge the batteries. You did not put the emergency light into the socket. Now the power has gone. Now you will have to face the consequences of your actions, of your laziness, of your lack of prioritizing the obedience of Allah. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. And then a wall will be constructed between the two groups. The believers enjoying the light of their a'mal and their iman. and easily able to navigate their way to the doors of Jannah. And the disbelievers on the other hand, in utter darkness, unable to move a step ahead. And then eventually they will be taken and cast into the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect us. But with this, my dear brothers, when we look into the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned, it is Allah's grace, Allah's kindness, Allah's mercy upon us, that Allah has already provided us with the solutions to these difficulties. And when we look into the ahadith, we find a number of actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed for us, which will become a source of energy and light on the day of Qiyamah. Mufti Shafi Saab rahimahullah has enumerated these actions, up to 12 different actions that a person could carry out. And we will try and discuss just a few of them, which will become a guaranteed source of light for him on the day of Qiyamah. Understand, my dear brothers, this is the investment. This is the investment. The prophets are unmatched. The returns are unbelievable. In this world, if somebody has to inform me of an investment with returns that are unheard of, rock solid investment, it will never come down, then I will make sure to invest a large portion of my funds into that investment. Not just myself, I will take the wealth of my wife and children, my family members, my elderly parents. The returns that we will get here, we will not get anywhere else. What are the returns Allah is prepared to give us for these a'mal? The first action, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma's narration. ذَكَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الصَّلَاةَ يَوْمًا بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِهِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is speaking about salah, the importance of salah. And then he says to his companions, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا That person who will take care with regard to his salah. He will be conscious of his salah, externally, internally, when it comes to punctuality, when it comes to the method of salah, when it comes to how he stands before Allah, his concentration, his recitation, the postures of salah, every aspect linked to salah. مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا وَبُرْهَانًا وَنَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ This will become a source of light for him on the day of Qiyamah. When that struggle is taking place, the tug of war between darkness and light, when every person is looking for a source of light and nur, his salah will come rushing to his rescue. It will become a means of light for him. Wa burhanan, it will stand as an advocate in the court of Allah on his behalf. And ultimately, wa najatan, it will be a means of his salvation on the day of Qiyamah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warns, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَيْهَا That person who is not conscious with regard to his salah, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ نُورًا وَلَا بُرْهَانًا وَلَا نَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Then he will not receive the light on the day of Qiyamah. And more than this, وَحُشِرَ مَعَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَارُونَ وَهَامَانَ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَأُبَيِّ بْنِ خَلَفٍ And he will be resurrected with the greatest of tyrants in the court of Allah. Commentators of the hadith have mentioned why these people were named Fir'aun, Qarun, Haman. We have read about them in the Quran, the destruction, the azab that Allah brought upon them. And when we have to look into the lives of these tyrants, these disbelievers, we will find that in each of their lives there was one primary factor which kept them away from the obedience of Allah. Fir'aun was infatuated with his kingdom. In this world, a person generally would leave salah out for one of these reasons. He does not take care to read salah. Why? He has a massive empire to take care of. He is infatuated with his own positions of authority, of leadership. Perhaps he is the CEO, he is the owner. He is the head of the household. He's got worldly honor. And therefore he feels that salah is not necessary in his life. He will be resurrected with Fir'aun. Likewise, when we look at the others, Haman was a minister. He was involved in his duties as a servant of the state. Sometimes a person's job duties, his work duties, keep him from performing salah. His resurrection will be with Haman. Qarun, he regarded his worldly possessions, his wealth. In our day, the car he drove, the home he lived in, the figures in his bank balance, he regarded this to put him above the obedience of Allah. A person will abandon salah because I have everything going for me. Things are proceeding very smoothly in my life. I have no financial difficulty or struggle. Then his resurrection also will be with people of this ilk. The first action Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, which will guarantee nur, light on the day of Qiyamah. A person takes care with regard to his salah. He makes it a priority in his life. And not just on the day of Qiyamah, that nur will be given to a person in this world also. The hadith Qudsi, Allah Rabbul Izzah mentions, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ. That if a person wants to gain closeness to me, then there is nothing better than the fara'id, the fard obligations I have placed upon him. And then a person continues to engage in nawafil. He spends those few extra minutes reading two rakats of nafil salah. Perhaps he wakes up for tahajjud salah. And he engages in nawafil and he gets closer and closer and closer to Allah. Finally he reaches such a point, Allah says, أَكُونَ حَتَّى أَكُونَ سَمَّعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. I become the eyes by which he sees, the ears by which he hears, the hands by which he stretches out, the feet by which he walks. And he, وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. If he has to ask me of anything, I will definitely grant it to him. Allah will give him nur in this world also. Decision making. Which person does not have decisions to make on a daily basis? When it comes to our business, when it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our children, which direction do we go with them? Family matters, financial matters. Every moment in life is a decision-making moment. Allah will grant him the inner light and nur. He will be guided to make the correct decision. Not only on the day of Qiyamah it will be a means of nur. In this world also it will become a means of nur and light for him. A means of guidance for him. The second action very quickly. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the recitation of Quran. Man istama'a ila ayatin min kitabillah. That person who listens to the recitation of one verse, kutibat lahu hasanatun mudha'afa, Allah will write for him multiplied rewards. Waman talaha, that person who will go one step further and recite one verse of Quran, kanat lahu nuran yawm al-qiyamah. This also will be a guaranteed source of light for him on the day of Qiyamah. Just one verse of Quran that he will recite. Somebody mentioned to Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Muhammad Zakariya Saab Rahimahullah, I don't find time to read Quran. And this is the complaint that each and every one of us has. I wish it was a 25-hour day, an 8-day week. I just do not have time. What was the response? He says, you have not prioritized the recitation of Quran. If you made it a priority, you will find time to do it. Like how the husband says, he's complaining of chest pains, his back is paining. The wife is insisting, go for a checkup, go to the doctor. He says, I don't have time. I've got to open the shop, close the shop, I've got meetings. I've got this to do, that to do. She says, make the time. She makes the appointment for him. Find some time in your schedule and get it done. This is a priority in your life. He says, if you will make the recitation of Quran a priority, you will find the time. And ulama said, ask ourselves, what is Quran? Allah give myself and all of us the understanding and reality. It is not just words on some page, but a 30 chapter love letter from Allah to us. Who doesn't want to read the love letter from his beloved? This also Allah is prepared to reward us for it. It will become a source of light on the day of Qiyamah. Then Mufti Shafi Saab quotes the narration of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. That person who will send durood upon me, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that person who will send durood upon me, then this will become a means of light for him on the bridge over Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. Durood Sharif, my dear brothers, ulama have explained it so beautifully. In this world, if somebody gives you a gift, then the honorable thing to do would be to reciprocate. And a person, according to his status, according to his level in this world, such will be the reciprocation, the gift that he gives in return. Somebody gives you an ordinary slab of chocolate, but you are a wealthy person, you are a prominent person, then you will not just give them an ordinary slab of chocolate back. It will be some exotic treat, something that is that costs a large amount of money. This person gave me a gift, I have to reciprocate in a manner better than this. Ulama explained, Durood Sharif in reality is a gift that we are presenting to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will take it upon Himself to reciprocate on His behalf. We can imagine the gifts Allah will bestow upon us, my dear brothers. The contentment of heart, the peace of mind, the ease of our life in this world. That amidst all the challenges and the hardships and the difficulties, but a person will find it smooth sailing. His mind and heart will be at ease. The entire world will be in chaos and confusion. But Allah will be showering those gifts upon his heart. Durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today is the day of Jumu'ah. I ask ourselves, my dear brothers, how many durood have I sent for the day? Commencing from last night when the sun had set at the time of Maghrib, already it was Laylatul Jumu'ah. How much of durood have I sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest benefactor that a person can have in this world? And finally, the last action time is already run out. Or rather, something for a person to be wary of. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظُّلْمِ. Protect yourself, save yourself from oppression, from injustice. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ هُوَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because oppression that a person carries out in this world, this will plunge a person into darkness on the day of Qiyamah. He will not be given any noor on the day of Qiyamah. Oppression, my dear brothers, has become rife in today's time. There is no time to go into the details with regard to our business dealings, how we conduct ourselves with our customers, with our suppliers, in the marketplace, sometimes our relationships with people. And perhaps what has further exacerbated the problem is the rise of social media, the rise of easy communication. We're behind the screen, what we call keyboard warriors. At times we are taking away the rights of others through the messages that we send or through the comments that we make on social media. We should not be negligent in this regard. But if a person is guilty of some level, some type of oppression, then this also will be a means of plunging a person into darkness on the day of Qiyamah. These are just a few actions, there are many, many more that a person can engage in to win that tug of war, that tussle, that fight between light and darkness on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, in our country we are perhaps best placed to understand darkness and light. When in a country that is plagued with power cuts, with load shedding, Allah protect us from it. But we understand the fear, the level of discomfort, the inconvenience in this world. If a person does not have lights, does not have power, he can still make a plan. And we are famous, well known for making a plan. There is some relative, some neighbor, somebody has a generator, somebody has an emergency light, he'll charge his cell phone in the car. He can make some plan or the other. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be absolutely no making a plan. There the response will be, go back to the dunya. There is no light for you, there is no borrowing on that day. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give myself and all of us the realization, the understanding. Allah has given us our time in the life of this world to prepare to answer those questions in the grave, to prepare to be recipients of nur on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.